Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Russell, and I'll be speaking with you today. Thank you so much for inviting me. I promised Sandra at the beginning of the summer that I would fill in as much as I could, and then I immediately got hired to do a weekend job in a different city. So I'm glad to be here with you today, and I'm really glad that my wife also has had the opportunity to speak with you. We're going to be starting our lessons today in Exodus chapter 2, if you'd like to follow along. It's been a crazy week. I've spoken with some of you in the pews, and it was a crazy week for you, too. Sometimes it's the heat drives us bonkers, and sometimes it's the work. But I'm glad we're all here today. I want to talk about Moses, because that's where we're going to be starting our time. This is Moses' origin story. If you're familiar with the Marvel comic series, everybody who is anybody has an origin story. And there are so many characters that played a part in his deliverance. We begin our time with him under the threat of death. Like the video said, Pharaoh has decided that there are too many potential enemies, and he wants that to stop. He orders the midwives to kill Hebrew male children. So we meet the first couple of courageous women, and I think you'll see a lot of courage from women in this story. So I was really trying to wrap my head around this part of the story, because the midwives, Puah and Shipra, basically lied to the most powerful man on earth. They were like, hey, man, like, there's just no way to stop these women from having babies. They're so fast, the baby's already out and fine by the time we get there. Totally a lie, but they did that to protect lives. Hebrew women were tough, they reasoned, and had babies much faster than Egyptian women. That's a bold statement to make to the most powerful man in the known world. But they stuck to their story, and the Hebrews continued to grow. So step one in this plan was Moses being born to his mother. The story mentions that she thought he was very handsome, and he grew quickly until she could no longer hide him. You guys know that 3 to 6 month babies are kind of hard to hide. They kind of tend to be mobile and want to get into their own stuff and tell you how it is, and that was Moses. I mean, he was just like, I'm not going to be put away. So she did a radical thing. Step two was his mother built a basket to hide him in that was dry and safe. As a little child, I loved imagining her making that basket. I mean, how torturous might that have been? I'm just going to make this thing and hope for the best here that this is all going to work out. She made this beautiful bulrush basket big enough to hold the tough kid, and then she painted pitch all over it so that it didn't get wet, and she put a lid on it, and she told her daughter, I'm going to send this into the river. Please keep an eye on this kid. Okay? I'd imagined in the story that the basket is just floating down the Nile, just zooming away, and then someone just heard the kid screaming and grabbed him, but there was a lot more planning than that. Okay? They put him in the reeds, in the water, in front of the palace, where the Pharaoh's daughter was to come every day. And she sent his older sister, Miriam, to watch over him while he sat in the river. Miriam is a name that I knew, because Miriam was ready to look out for Moses no matter what. And the plan came to pass, because as she was watching this basket, attendants came with the princess. They heard him crying, and the princess said, get that kid over to me. And so that's what they did. Step three of this process was when Miriam started her pitch. Okay? This is so smooth. If you know Jewish thought, there is a lot of layers into this story. She said, "Lady, this is a Hebrew child. Do you want me to get someone to nurse him for you?" Because she already waited long enough to know that this wasn't going to be a kid going to be put back in the basket and sent down the river further. She knew that there was some love and that this was working out. I'm sure that was a super tense moment. The plan came to pass, and the princess said, "Yes, I will pay you to do that." Okay, as a Jewish person, there's a rim shot in there when you hear that story. Not only did they get what they wanted, but they're going to get paid for it. Okay, so baby ends up with mama, sister looks like amazing, and also they're getting a check for this service that they're doing to raise their own kid to a weaning age so that he can be trained in the things of the Egyptian system. Moses got to grow up with his mother. Miriam did some really hard things, made a great deal, and he ended up in a safe place. It's a great story. And there's so many brave women who are told about. We are told about in the story, the midwives who did a really hard thing and standing up to the king. There was all the family members that kept Moses safe. I know this kid got passed around, like they tried really hard to hide him until they couldn't hide him anymore. He was given the name Moses because he was drawn out of the water. That was an Egyptian name. We met a princess also who I think is part of the story because she very much stood up to her father and said, "I'm keeping this kid. I know he's not one of ours, but I'm taking him to raise as mine." Everybody played their part. All of these things prove that many, many people, especially women, had a role in this story. And every person we met was special and courageous. I'd like to read with you in Romans chapter 12 as we continue our story on to the New Testament. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? I think we'll have it on the screen as well. We're going to read together Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness." Thus say the word of the Lord. You can have a seat. Kind of moving to part two of this lesson, and I really want to connect the dots here between Exodus and Romans. First, we talked about a multi-layered story with lots of brave people using their gifts and talents and opportunities. Now I'm going to move to Romans 12, which feels really different, but it was the same Jewish writer, Paul, who gave us this list, and I want to talk through it with you guys. I'm talking, give me 15 minutes, I'll get through this, and I think we'll see where we're heading with this. When I learned about this scripture back in Bible college, I learned that we use some parts of the Bible as lessons or stories, and some parts of the Bible as application. I was speaking to Rafe on Wednesday when we were handing out snow cones as fast as we possibly could in 105-degree weather, and I said, this part of the lesson really teaches itself. I must have said that through like sweaty eyeballs because we were just getting smoked out there until the sun went down. This really teaches itself. It is all application. If you read it, it's almost like a checklist of things you should be doing. It says if you're going to teach and you have the gift to be a teacher, then be a good one. If your gift is kindness, then be kind to everyone. If your gift is making money, then be generous with your money. There are so many ways that we see individuals lifted up, And they were so amazingly direct. The focus of the message is how to honor God with who we are. Coming back to the beginning of the passage, it said, "Do not conform to the image of this world." And I really want to sit with that for a minute. The world is great at creating a pecking order, at saying this kind of person is valuable and these kinds of skills matter more than all the others. You know, in your experience, that tends to be true. Like we weigh people and judge them based on what they can do for us and how important they are to us on the day to day. But we're not supposed to be like the world. Romans chapter 12 reminds me that no gifts are extra special and no people are more important than anyone else. I want to speak from an experience. Those of you who don't know, I lived in South America planting a church for 8 years. And so this made me reflect on that time because our strategy changed as the years went by. It was a tough lesson that we learned the hard way back when we were church planters in South America because people had initially encouraged us to seek out people from the middle class. I don't exactly know what that meant, but we were middle class according to American standards. So we just tried to look for people like us. People had a couple of cars, a decent house, a great job, lots of free time. Like that's who we sought out at the beginning. And there was a purpose to that. They were trying to say, these people can give a lot to the thing that you're trying to build. But from a church planting perspective, a person like that was useful. Their lives were stable and didn't demand a ton of time or resources. When somebody came to us and they had nice stuff, I'm ashamed to admit this, a stable job, maybe even their own car and lots of free time, we worked really hard to plug those people into everything that we did. Because we're like, hey, amazing, you're just like me. Let's do the same things. It's great. It's great. At least that's what we thought. Ultimately, over the years, I'm very serious about this, what won out were the kind-hearted people. Sure, some of those people had lots of resources, but other times those kinds of people basically had nothing. Basically, nothing. A bus pass, a low-level job, a tiny house, a little apartment. My favorite person to tell you about that I met through that time was Señor Geraldo. We lost Geraldo in 2022 in the height of COVID, and I really miss him. But he was a recovering alcoholic who lived with some long-term consequences of his addiction, came to church the first day drunk as a skunk, sat through the whole thing and said, I think I need to do better. And he did. When you sat and talked with him, you realized that he was educated and incredibly intelligent. But that part of him was frequently locked away. Geraldo was incredibly poor and had very little on paper to offer our baby church. But he loved the church and came every week. He even brought a thermos of coffee to share with everyone. He was the coffee guy. We didn't usually have a kitchen, and so he would make that at home and bring it for everybody. He was the first guy to jump in when we needed to pick up chairs. He was a central figure in the church body. I miss that guy a lot. He was great. He became a really good friend. And I think that his lesson is what Paul is trying to teach us through Romans. There's just one body, and every part matters. So I hope that this is what First Christian is replicating in Stillwater. In this church, in this body, all are welcome. You will hear that again when we take communion together around the table. We hope that you feel that. But I want more than that. I want you to know that you are needed here just the way that you came today. I told you it was a tough lesson that I learned, and that is heart matters. Heart matters more than stuff. Heart matters more than talent. Heart matters more than history. All of those things are great, but the heart is what is going to change lives, not just for yourself, not just in God's kingdom, but in this body of believers. Whoever you are out there, whatever value has been assigned to you does not matter. In God's kingdom, you are just as special as everyone else. And when we say come and rest in God's family, it's not an appointment for an hour in this room every Sunday. Come and rest because in this family you belong. Whatever it is that you know how to do with whatever gifts and skills God equipped you with. If you don't know how to get started, I want to invite you to serve with us, to eat with us, and to go with us as we serve this community. I told you on Wednesday, I sweated with this community as we handed out 925 snow cones. That is a personal best. We really did that. It was crazy. I have a few times for this community given blood and passed out because I'm a passer-outer. Even though I stick people for work, I do pass out about half the time. But that's what the church needed me to do, so that's what I did. I have given my time to connect with people through this community. I've had lunch or given rides to people that needed them. I've helped cut up busted tree limbs in the parking lot and throw them into a dumpster. Whatever the church needed, that's what I needed to do. You may not be able to do any of those things, but let us know that you're willing to help, and we will figure out a way to use it for God's kingdom. That's a fact. Just try me. If you feel like you have a need and you want to fill it here, there's plenty of places to do that. All these things are just ways that an open heart can be thankful for the acceptance that God provides to everyone that seeks him. Please consider these words. You are important. You are special. And you matter to God and to us. Finally, I want to come back to Exodus, where we started. I learned some new names this week. Pua and Shipra. I have read through the Bible multiple times in my life, but have never known this story the way that I know it now. These people were so important. These women were so important that they are named in our book. It doesn't happen very often. Okay, this is a big deal. And I'm super thankful that I get to talk about them and celebrate them and celebrate them with you today. Will the same be said of us? It is extremely rare that things like this happen in Bible stories, that women are called out and singled out and remind us that they did a hard thing and they should be celebrated. Paul loved making lists of the kind of people that God can use. I can take you to 1 Corinthians 13. I can take you all over his letters. He loved to make lists of the fruits of the Spirit, of the kind of hearts that God wants. But every time he says, none of these things are better than anything else. None of you people that have these gifts are better than anyone else. Today, I want to celebrate our unity as much as our differences. We need every person in order to do the work of God's kingdom in the world. And so we want to finish this week with a blessing. Layla's going to come up and read a blessing, and we have copies of it on the table around the room. So there's tables in the back and tables at the side. Once we start the closing song of this message, then you can come up and there's no activity today. We're not going to light candles or do anything else. If you'd like to pick up a copy of that blessing and take it with you, please do that. So I just wanted you to know from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening to the message that I brought today. Thank you so much for having me as part of this body. I don't get to come every week, but I'm thankful to be here with you today. Let's all stand and sing as we listen to the blessing from Layla and then close out this part of our service before the communion talk.